And welcome to That Pixel Life, where me, Josh, and Shannon normally get together and we talk about video games for a little while. We say it's always going to be like an hour, but it ends up being two. And tonight, Shannon cannot be here because hashtag baby. And so we are accompanied by one of our listeners and one of my friends for a good time now, good long time, Matt Sattler. What's up, man?
Hey, man. I appreciate you having me on here.
No problem, man. Zach, how are you, yes, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm not Josh, even though you said I was.
Yeah,
Josh.
I apologize. Yeah. Hey, how often do I do this?
I'm excited to see you run point, man. Let's do it.
I don't even run point on my own college football podcast. So that'll tell you how often I do this.
I just want to know how many C minuses deep you are at this point. Like how many Coors Lights you got working in that system?
None tonight. It is 100% agua.
That's a weird thing to call vodka.
Guys, tonight we decided to just kind of do a quick recap of EA, Bethesda, and Microsoft, and we wanted to do live video, and Matt and I did on Facebook Live because I am incompetent and cannot figure out technology. So we were able to finally get that figured out. And then I'm an idiot who forgot that Bethesda started at 8:30 and not 9 o'clock. So 9 o'clock my time. So I had to go back and watch the first 30 minutes of it. So it's just been a grand old day today. But go ahead and jump in and just in two sentences or less, if you can, guys, give me what you were expecting coming into this week of E3.
On a very basic level from all studios across the board, what I was expecting was the unknown, because this is one of the first E3s I've seen in a long time where, there was the standard floodgate of leaks right before the show as everyone's getting their stuff up. But still, there's a bunch of stuff that I just didn't know. And seeing how these companies were ramping up towards the next generation was more my interest, because that's just on the horizon now, especially with Microsoft's announcement today. You know, it's right over the hill. So it's curious to me to see what's being shown and what's not being shown, because I think that's almost just as significant.
Yeah,
Matt, what about you?
I know for me, it was just trying to figure out, I guess, my biggest curiosity was just the streaming platforms, Stadia being right before E3 technically started, I guess. And then that really piqued my curiosity into like what xCloud was going to be, even though we knew some of that stuff, but how it was going to fit in with the new potential console information that we were getting. And I was just, of course, you know, I am about Xbox. So I was very interested to just see what they were going to do overall. That was my biggest interest for sure.
So for me, I think, Zach and I texted before the conference even started and earlier today, and he made a comment, I'm going to steal your quote.
Mm-hmm.
All the cards were on the table for Xbox. And so, all the cards were on the table for Xbox. EA, we knew what they were going to do. And Bethesda, I thought Bethesda was the one who needed to be in people's good graces more than anyone, because everyone's kind of got a sour taste after Fallout 76. So quickly, going to EA, we're going to do EA really fast because there's really only one game to really talk about.
Yeah.
They showed Star Wars. They talked about Apex Season 2. They talked about Battlefield and getting another map or two. They talked about FIFA. That's going to be adding FIFA Street, which sadly is going to make me buy their game now.
Which actually might make me buy the game because that's baller.
Yeah. And then they showed Madden NFL 20. And they talked about The Sims 4 for a little bit. The sports stuff, I'm sorry, we can talk about that on our own time. I want to take a second and just react to Fallen Order and seeing actual gameplay. And Zach, go ahead, man.
Oh, well, I mean, what you put on the Facebook group was my exact reaction when the trailer is going and it's looking pretty good. And it's like, okay, this is interesting. And then he force grabs that stormtrooper and throws him right into his lightsaber. I'm like, oh, yep, I'm in. Good.
So cool.
That's sweet. Yep. So cool. It was like, all right, I'm all in. Just here we go. And it very much felt like Force Unleashed 3 to me. just watching it. And part of it, that's just because it's a third person game and has some of those action adventure elements. Like,
is Force that a Unleashed. Bad thing for you?
Not necessarily, because I think it's a lot of it just is wearing, kind of wearing those clothes makes it feel that way. But the way they use the powers, the way the saber was used, the mobility in the maps that they showed was very much on another level than those games were. So I as a person that enjoys me some Star Wars, I was into it.
And from what I've read, there are apparently like different stances for your character, like Neo does, and kind of Sekiro does that a little bit as well.
Or like For Honor, kind of? Like just the way that you have to stance yourself left, right, kind of just the way you would look?
I guess. I haven't played For Honor, but like in Neo, you have a choice between having high stance, mid stance, or low stance, and that's how you walk through.
Yep.
And apparently they have something like that as well. I told Matt this on the Facebook Live video, but the fact that I got to see Saw Gerrera and just confirmation that they're going to either use Rebels characters or Rogue One characters, either one, like I'm ecstatic about.
I did like the part in the trailer where Saw Gerrera was like, "Who are you?" like all of a sudden he was like taking out this AT-AT and you're like, took it over and you're driving it, and all of a sudden he just shows up on the windshield. He's like, "What the hell?" Like,
yeah,
that's great moment.
And so like, I'm not gonna nerd out on Star Wars stuff right now, but that trailer and the kind of changing the narrative in which they were talking about this game a couple weeks ago to now, where, you know, before it was be quiet, stay in the shadows, don't get caught, and now they kind of open like, hey, you're starting the new Jedi Order,
yeah,
like the new Jedi Council. So like, to me, that kind of it's not negative. It's just,
yeah,
it's more than what I was expecting, and that gets me really excited because that has to mean there's going to be other Jedi that we know we're gonna see. Like we're gonna see other Jedi.
Just in the timeline of it, it seems like it's. During maybe Order 66, so
it's right after it. Yeah.
But there's still like some lying around. It's not, you know, Yoda's in Dagobah rotting away in hiding yet.
We,
you know,
easily could see Ahsoka, we could see Obi-Wan, we could see Kanan from Rebels, we could see a litany of different characters. So yeah, like, I mean, do you have anything else to add, guys, before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to just touch on, like, some of the gameplay I saw. I liked that, like, and this may just be me, but, like, some of the moves that he used were so, like, raw. And I liked that because it felt like he didn't know what he was doing. I thought that was authentic to the story, like, where he would, like, run the guy through when he was right up on him. Like, he didn't know how to use his lightsaber. You know what I mean? It was almost, like, just stuff like that. And then, you know, the wall running and stuff that was true to respawn. I like that. Yep. I really like the droid. The droid seems really fun. And a lot of the story integrations and stuff were really impressive to me. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Well, Respawn hasn't let me down yet.
Yeah,
so
right.
It just kind of confirmed everything I was hoping for going in. And the trailers that I've seen since have just led me to believe, like, yeah, this is probably going to be rock solid. And as long as they hit on the narrative, I think they'll probably have a home run. You know, it looks really, really good.
And honestly, I've said this before, and I'm not going to back down on it. Like, Star Wars is that one thing where I'm not going to be incredibly hypercritical about the story. Like, I'm just give me a basic story with just a bunch of fun combat. I just want to be a Jedi and use a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Moving on to the big daddy, which was Xbox, and boy, they throw a lot at us. Okay. So I'm gonna go through this as quickly as I can. We've got Project Scarlet. We still don't have a name for the Xbox, which I just think they're going to call it just Xbox. But anyway.
Which they should.
Yeah, they should. Project Scarlet is the next-gen console. It's going to release next year, holiday season 2020, which no one's surprised by that. Halo Infinite will launch beside it, which I will wait to believe that. just because they didn't show us any gameplay for that game whatsoever.
I thought that was so weird. Yeah, I thought both announcements I thought were really weird. Because it's like everyone was expecting the Project Scarlet announcement. I wasn't expecting that it would still be called Project Scarlet at this point. Even if they had just called it Xbox Scarlet or something. But, like, you know, keeping the Project Scorpio monkey or, you know, like, way longer than they should have the last time, it seemed like maybe that's a lesson they could have learned this time around. But anyway, you know, they threw a ton of numbers at you, but, like, not really a lot of, like, oh, but here's what it does. Let me show you. And then the Halo trailer, which I loved it. It was really, like, it had a lot of, like, you know, gravitas to the trailer as far as a story and a layout go. But I came away going, I still don't know anything about what this game is about.
Yep.
You know?
Since, unfortunately, because this is the beginning of the overview of Xbox, this is where one of my disappointments come in.
To say it correctly, this was happened at the end. You know, this is the last thing they showed, so it kind of left a taste in my mouth.
Yeah,
you know,
if you're gonna mention the console, like don't because like and it's the past 2 years before this year, the past 2 years we have bashed EA for not showing us games, not showing us gameplay, but only showing us devs talking about the game and how they're excited about it. And that's essentially what they did here with the Xbox console. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of, it took me out of what they had been doing prior of just showing game trailers and game trailers and game trailers. Yeah. And so for them to show us Project Scarlet, I'm fine with them not giving us a price. Like, that's fine. But you go through all these specs. You take the time to show us everything. Like you said, Zach, tell us everything that this is about. But then you only tell us about one game. You don't even show us gameplay. You don't tell us anything or show us any games that make us excited about the console.
Which will be next year. Yes, like that.
And that is what needs to be the focal point of this. But, like you and I, Zach, said a week ago, this is like open season for Xbox. There's no Nintendo console going to be announced. There's no Sony here at all. Like, you can just do whatever you want. And you can just light up the sky with incredible announcements for everybody.
And to be fair, they had some bangers. Like, that conference had some bangers in it.
Yes, and we'll get to those in a minute. I'm just talking about the console.
Yeah, the console part was a little disappointing. Just because I was hoping at this juncture you know, there'd be a box to at least see, or like this is what it looks like or something, you know.
I think it's gonna be white.
Maybe. You know, like it's probably gonna look like a freaking Xbox One X. You know, like what it's gonna look like. There's nothing wrong with that design. But it's one of those things where, you know, at this point, the holiday 2020 time makes it, in my mind, go, okay, so you didn't really have anything to tell us. You're only telling us this because Sony's not there, because Nintendo's doing that. Like, you're trying to build up excitement that's for things that are coming. But if this were a standard E3 of 2 years ago, I don't think they would have mentioned it. I really don't. You know?
Yeah.
Because in reality, when you peel all the layers of the onion away, there's nothing in the middle yet. You know, it's
I will say this. The one quote about the Scarlet that I liked was homeboy. I always forget his name whenever I need to say it.
Phil Spencer.
Phil Spencer. He said, basically, we heard you and we're making a console just for games. We're not making an all entertainment console. Matt, you haven't said a word. Go ahead, man.
Well, here's one thing that I think a lot of people may have like missed is it's really easy to like your eyes to gloss over when they're talking about all these tech specs and all this crap that goes into it. But then like when he's talking, what I found really impressive about that part, and it was easy to miss, was that when he started talking about what the box itself could do in terms of like, now your console is basically its own home server and you can push out your image to all your equipment and stuff like that. That's cool. Because now it's talking about maybe not having to have multiple consoles in your house and things like that. And that was, I think that was really subtle and easy to miss, but I thought that was a really, really neat touch, in the monotony of like, here's this really cool box with 8 teraflops of this and blah, blah,
totally,
blah.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and also another one liner that was in there that I think was easy to miss was the guy that had the like best beard I've ever seen in my life saying this is the box for 4 generations of games. And it's like, oh, so this thing will play Xbox One, Scarlet, 360 and original Xbox games. Like that's a big deal, you know, and they just kind of like burned right past it, but it's like, wait. So it does that? Well, hold on. Can we talk about that a little?
And it kind of goes back to the Stadia thing. Like, mm-hmm. I understand they have a whole freaking calendar year to sell this thing to me or to people in general, mm-hmm. but like E3 is about hype.
Yeah.
And I didn't walk away with hype about the console, but that's okay because boy, was there so much other stuff there. Yeah. Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, so cool. Let's stop the train right there because that game, goddamn. Like, if they said release today, but it costs you $300, I'd be $300 poorer right now. Yep. Like, I think I sent Robbie the gif of a guy just shoving all his chips to the middle of the table. Like, yep, that's me. Just give me the game. I'm all in. Like, we're doing 100%. This. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was before Keanu, before John Wick showed up.
Like, that was so cool. I was still all in. Look, Keanu Reeves is having the year of his life. Oh, he's totally. He got John Wick 3, which was awesome. He was in the romantic comedy, which my wife and I just watched literally last night, and it was awesome. Always Be My Maybe on Netflix. Ali Wong wrote it. It's so freaking good. And his cameo is the best part of the movie. And now he's in Cyberpunk. And he's also in Toy Story 4, and Bill and Ted is coming as well. Yep. So Keanu Reeves he is just making it rain. He is living his best life right now.
Career renaissance like we have never seen.
That's right. It looked incredible. I imagine it's going to be like every CD Projekt Red game, which has been The Witcher up to this point. And it's going to your choices are going to dictate what happens in the world, and the combat looks so good.
And the attention to detail in the world was just stunning. I mean, just the like where people have all these different augmentations placed upon them, but the way all of them are connected makes sense visually and like how they're reacting to the world. Like, you know, when people, you could tell watching the thing, like when people have metal limbs, they're heavier, like just by how they're carrying them and how they move through the world. And like, you know, the power that's running under the skin, like it's under the skin, but you see the line, you know, it like powering things. It just, it's the so many little details.
But the opening scene with him and his friend, like in the car, like that was kind of a moving thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like you know, and then he shows up and that we see why he's angry. And that game, man, so freaking
forearm blades. The forearm blades,
not narrative that you get on Xbox. I know that's something that we've talked about a lot, but that looked like a PlayStation exclusive type game, like story wise, you know. And so that was exciting to me to see something that quality actually come our direction.
I swear to you, I'm not even kidding. I thought they were going to announce that Xbox bought CD Projekt Red. I thought that was about to happen, and so to segue, they did announce they brought on someone and look,
that was
very
underwhelming.
I'm gonna say just didn't care.
I will be the counterpoint to both of you.
I know you will be, and that's why I'm mentioning this, but yeah, Xbox Studios is having a new edition and it is Double Fine, and they announced Psychonauts 2. Or they showed us actual gameplay.
Well, and it came out after the press conference that they actually had purchased the publishing rights to the Psychonauts 2 separately from... Because Psychonauts 2 has been in development for, I think, 4 years.
Yes.
And so they purchased the publishing rights apart from the company when they purchased Double Fine. So Microsoft is acting as the publisher for that game now as well, which it's a big deal. Like Psychonauts, I mean, I understand it wasn't everyone's original cup of tea, but it was a big game for the time.
Yes,
and
it was.
Granted, that time was 14 years ago now, but it was a big game for the time. And, you know, the sequel has been long in demand, long running. I also get where Double Fine isn't everyone's cup of tea, but I am a huge Tim Schafer believer. Like, no one really makes games and worlds the way his studios do. And they're always very lively. There's always a lot of humor. And bringing that level of storytelling on to Microsoft as an internal studio is a very big deal. Because if you look at their 13 studios, now 14, there's no house they have that does what Double Fine does on any level. I mean, maybe Rare would be the one that is, I would think, closest to Double Fine as far as, you know, cheekiness and character yeah. design and things of that nature. But, I mean, Double Fine has a great history of games that, granted, they all haven't been big hits, but they've all been unique. They've all done well in their own little spheres. And I think in the long run, it could be a huge boon to, you know, the ID at Xbox program or that digital release kind of that like double A game that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like I could definitely see them leveraging
Ninja Theory games.
Exactly. Like I see them definitely leveraging Double Fine into one of those type of positions.
You can see that they're really trying to reach into a market that they were missing. And I think, you know, that's where Sony and Nintendo particularly, but especially Sony has like really, really excelled is that like they've got those like Japanese style games. And then like you're talking about these double A titles and things like mm-hmm. that, they're reaching into these spaces that they weren't in before. And I think that that's going to make a huge difference for console sales and, you know, just overall interest in the hardware and the platform.
So next is Xbox. They basically talked again about console streaming, AKA remote play. They didn't really give us much detail. Hey, you'll be able to play this anywhere. Okay, cool.
Starting in October.
Yeah, starting in October.
It sounds to me like, kind of going what Matt was saying earlier, it sounds to me like it's going to be you're going to be able to turn your home console into a local server.
Right.
So, yes. And by that, I'm guessing that means if I'm in my bedroom on my phone with running iOS 13, I can stream my game right to my phone instead of having to bring a...
Yeah. I think that also means, though, that you're not having to use a data signal. If you're talking about your own Wi-Fi and your own internal network, that's actually a big deal. Because I think one of the big complaints I had about Stadia was, like, I think the statistics I read were saying that it was going to take at least, like, 20 gigs an hour for it to run, which is unreal. Like,
or it was, like, use a full terabyte of data within for 65 hours of gameplay or something like that. Yeah.
Not going to happen. So the Xbox Anywhere thing, using it as a server, it sounds really cool. I just need to, first of all, I just need to see it in action. And I mean, like Matt and I were talking, we couldn't even Facebook Live each other and watch our streams of Bethesda at the same time without there being huge latency between all of it, you know? So the concept of streaming, which is apparently the huge theme of this conference, which we've already seen from two conferences, like streaming is the big deal. Look, I'm up for all new technology. I need to see it. I need to see it worked, and I need to see it working. And also, hey, why do I want to pull out my phone and play a game that I can play on my TV? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need a reason. But anyway,
I'll tell you, that reason is my two kids are watching Baby Shark videos and my wife is watching The Voice, and
same I'm reason out of TVs, you need this you thing
know. Exactly Touché, exactly
next and this is gonna be a slew of just awesome announcements that just got me really jacked and excited. Gears 5 is coming out September 10th. It is going to be a game pass game.
Mm-hmm.
Day one. That's awesome.
And if you have the new Game Pass Unlimited, you get it 4 days early or something like that. Which, by the way, real quick aside, if no one's done it, go get you a Xbox Live card from like CD Keys or something for under $50 wherever you can find it. Get the cheapest 1 year thing you can get. Tack it onto your existing membership, and you can change your Game Pass account to the Unlimited for $1 right now, and it'll sync up for the length of your Xbox Live.
Yep.
So you stop paying. Yeah, you stop paying for Game Pass for the next 2 years, and you get the Unlimited for $1. Like, do that. Like, do it right now.
Plus, that gives you all the it gives you the PC access plus the all the regular access and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which is nice.
And every exclusive apparently day and date, which is huge.
It is huge, and the fact that they just automatically joined PC and console like freely, like I mean we knew that was going
to
happen,
right? Like, but there's still the option to keep it separate, which I think was smart too for people like you who may or may not own an Xbox but do own a gaming PC. You want access to those games,
mm-hmm.
so you can still pay that flat $10.
I mean, I still do have my Xbox One S right now. My question as far as their consoles is moving forward is. Am I going to want a Scarlet? And I'm just going to start calling it Scarlet because that's what they called it. Am I going to want a Scarlet next year? And, I mean, they've only shown us one game for it, and they didn't even show us gameplay for it, so I don't know. But, no, this has been – this and backwards compatibility have been the two greatest things that Xbox has brought to gaming over the last 6 years.
Yep.
Yeah. And I give them kudos for that. My beef is really just – Single player gaming experiences that we have yet to see, and I don't want to rehash that again. We have a new Elite controller, Series 2. Mm-hmm. It's going to come out in either October or November. It is actually cheaper than. Oh no, I'm sorry. It is more expensive.
It's $180.
It's $180, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, I think that's what
it is. Okay. You had just broken up a little bit, Zach.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's $180. I think I'm probably going to get it for the simple fact that it has the built-in battery and rechargeable dock.
Yeah.
Because I freaking hate changing out batteries in Xbox controllers, hence the reason why I always buy rechargeable batteries for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the profile thing was cool too, with the three profiles that you can use.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked great.
And I'm telling you, the biggest thing for me on the whole thing was just being able to adjust trigger length. So I can make the triggers the same as bumpers. Sweet. Done. Like, let's do this. You know? Like, yeah. The whole package for the Elite 2 was working for me. Like, that's, I will pay that. It went to the top of my Christmas list. You know?
So like, if someone wants to buy me one.
Yeah.
So then they announced, and this is not in order, actually, but whatever. It's Sega came out, or Phil Spencer came out, and they announced a connection with Sega. And we are finally, which we knew about this in, like, 2012. Mm. They announced that this was going to happen, but it's finally come through. It took forever. But Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming to the West and is going to be on Xbox One and PC.
That's a huge deal. Like,
it is. And
I'm sorry, I cut you off, but go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say that I'm probably going to play it because I've always wanted to.
Yeah, me too. I've always wanted to play it. It's totally free to play. There's a bunch of microtransaction type things in that game. It's been that way for, 5-6 years now in Japan, but it is huge in Asia. It's got a wealth of content that has all been thoroughly tested and played out, and the leveling system and everything is well run at this point. So, the game we're getting, assuming localization, is going to be a well-oiled machine. Like, it should be able to hit the ground running here in the West, and it that's a big deal. Like, that's the one thing, like, of all the announcements they made in this one, getting PSO2 as an Xbox thing here in the States, like, it might be the most significant announcement they made. It's because there are a lot of people that have been wanting to play that game for a long time and doing a bunch of back channel random, you know, right. Like I,
Jeff Gerstmann talks about it, like, I swear, once a month on,
oh yeah,
like at least the first one. I know I don't have a lot of time to play MMOs, but I'll make time to play this one because it's just like, it's like the sacred cow. Like, it's just something you never thought you'd be able to come near or touch. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So, okay. We have breaking news.
Ah, breaking news.
Breaking news. Final Fantasy Remake is coming out March 3rd, 2020.
Ah, all right then.
Sorry to break away from that, but that news just broke on Twitter. So,
okay.
Anyway, all right. Next is Tales of Arise coming out in 2020. I know that probably you two do not give a crap about this, but that game looked dope to me.
It looked pretty sweet. It looked pretty sweet. It looked very traditional JRPG-ish. I'm not a big JRPG guy. Matt, is that your
Not super into those, but I mean, like, there's a few that end up scratching that itch, like Final Fantasy Tactics. So, like, whatever that game was on Switch. Dang it. Octopath was one, you know, and like Banner Saga and stuff like that. That seems to get me there, but that's about it. I mean, no, I'm not super into that.
Banner Saga 1 and 2 are so good.
Yeah, those are on Game Pass now. I don't know if you noticed.
They are. They look really. It looks really beautiful. I'm gonna play it. But okay, so the next is a game that this has nothing to do with Xbox, but I was really just disappointed in this announcement. Elden Ring. And the reason why I'm disappointed is twofold. One, the trailer showed us literally nothing. It was just a montage of just gibberish and just like CGI trailer, just junk. And then they like praise it as George R. Martin, but like, we have no idea what the story's about. We have no idea what the world's about.
There was a moment where I thought it was going to be Lord of the Rings.
I thought I saw Khal Drogo in there somewhere.
I would have. Yeah. I would have been. Y'all have no idea. I would have lost it if it was Lord of the Rings.
The thing is, it still might be. I have no idea. Like, they gave us nothing.
We're really not seeing that game for 2 years.
No, that'll be a Scarlet game.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then, you know, just going back to the George R. Martin stuff, like, it just in my heart of hearts, it just bothers me. Like, dude, why are you working on this instead of writing these books? But whatever.
Just to troll me.
I know. And the moment that book releases, if it ever does, I'll buy it day one. Yep. So then the next one is, I don't have a huge affirmation for it, but Battletoads. We actually got to see gameplay.
And I mean, it looked janky as hell. Like,
it looks okay, I guess. I mean, it almost looked interesting, but I was just like, do I want that?
Well, but it's funny, though, because I think that becomes a who's this game made for
right, thing. Right, exactly.
Like, I was watching this press conference, and my 5-year-old was in the living room while it was on, and that part comes. He stops, looks at the TV, and he's like, Dad, that looks cool. We should play that. Like, fair. And I was like, oh, that's who this game's made for. 5-year-olds. Okay. Like, this suddenly makes a lot more sense. This is like, he was into it. He's like, wait, rewind that. I want to watch that again. You know, like, we can do this, we can do that. And I'm like, their hands get big. And I'm like, yeah, dude, he was all about it. Like,
so I just did the upgrade for Xbox Pass Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Guess when I have to make my first official payment.
What? When?
July 2020.
There you go.
Nailed
boom.
It.
I'm set. I mean, that's just too good of a deal mathematically.
It's insane. Yeah. Like,
So next is Microsoft Flight Simulator. I have nothing to add or say. So I'm going to move
that's,
on.
I will say that's actually a pretty big deal. Like, okay, that's the first time.
So like,
they're incredibly impressive. Yes. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, like, those games are like detailed to levels that like you wouldn't even comprehend in terms of like how realistic they are, and like every switch and every toggle and every gauge and just all that stuff. Like, they do such a really good job. So for that to just pop up in this, like, I'm sure it just glossed over for a lot of people, but at the same time, like, knowing what those are, like, actually that is kind of a big deal, like you're saying.
Well, and they have a pretty large community that follows the simulator stuff pretty heavy. It's the first time it's showing up on consoles, and it kind of feels like they're Forza this year in a lot of ways. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we're gonna do this instead.
You mean that point I'm gonna get?
Right. I can't believe you got a point. Right. But, well, I totally thought we were gonna get Forza Lego was going to be the game.
I did too. I was like, oh my god, I'm about to lose this.
And it's going to be an add-on pack for Forza Horizon 4. And I will tell you, I have not seen my child more excited about a video game than that trailer for Forza Horizon. He was just flipping his lid about it. Like, I can't wait to play it. Can we build cars? Can we build ramps? I want to do this. I want to do that. Like, he was just like, I think he's watched it like 4 times now, the trailer for that thing. Like, he was going insane about the Lego Forza Horizon expansion to the point where I'm going to be getting it next week because I have no choice. Like, he's just like adamant that he has to play this thing. And to be fair, like, you know, it was a couple years ago, but he loved the Hot Wheels add-on for 3.
That was
like,
super
he
cool.
he still goes through that from time to time. Like, it's so it's one of those things. Like, I know it'll be, at least the quality of it will be top.
It's funny because like, I know as much as that was for kids, that was definitely for people like us, because we, you know, we played on the orange track cars and stuff like that. But then when I was watching the Lego one, I was like, that's not for me, but I understand why it's cool. You know?
Yeah. Well, and then, as not to jump your format here, Robbie, but if we're talking Lego stuff, it bringing the entire Skywalker saga Lego to console, like, it's funny because my wife actually was like, oh, I'll totally play that. When does that come out? Like, when can we get that one? Because, like, she's played all the Lego Jurassic World ones with my kid, and she's waiting until she wants him to be a little older to start the Harry Potter books, but then they're going to play through all the Lego Harry Potter ones together. They've done Lego Incredibles. Like, she really likes those games. So she was all about the Star Wars business. So that was another little like throwaway game in the montage, right. But like she was super into that one, which kind of caught me off guard. But
I'll probably pick that game up just as a failsafe for like Elijah, you know, just to play that one day.
Yeah. The Lego games for kids are rock solid, dude. They're really good. Yeah.
Next, and you're going to be surprised, guys. We can move on very quickly from this. But Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is coming out in 2020, and I don't freaking give a crap about that game because it goes back to that Budokai and Xenoverse-type gameplay that just is so not fun.
It wasn't cool.
Say again?
I didn't enjoy those games at all. Like,
no, me either.
It's like you were having a stroke and just saying words. Like, I don't know what you just said at all. Like, just so sounds were coming out of your mouth.
Let's just go ahead and go to the next thing, which is Minecraft Diablo. Can we just talk about that? Because that was so cool.
If there isn't a smarter move, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what a smarter move to make just a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. For kids like Zach, for JV, who has never played like a Baldur's Gate, has never played any kind of Diablo game, he is now going to be introduced to a Diablo type through Minecraft.
Yeah. And he was in. Like, just like, yep, he's like, you can play this with me together in the same room. I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like, great. We're doing that. You know, like he was in. Like, and even, you know, my wife, who's not the most hardcore video game player, was like, oh, I can play that too. That looks like something I can play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm looking at her because I know how like obsessive she can get over games. I'm like, if this is like Diablo, you shouldn't play this game because it'll be like your life. You know, like, don't do this to yourself.
Yeah.
Hold the phone. So, did y'all know Shinmue 1 and 2 is on Game Pass?
No.
I thought I saw that like a couple weeks ago. They released it.
Didn't know that until just right now. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm throwing us off by getting distracted by the TV. Next, this was a game that I was kind of excited about. Outer Worlds. It got announced, and it is a game by Obsidian. It is coming out October 25th, and it looks exactly like what I wanted, or at least what I want to try out. And it's going to be on Game Pass, so I don't have to worry about too much.
It's shocking because it looks exactly like BioShock.
Weird. Isn't that Fallout really BioShock? Isn't that what that one was?
Yeah. It looks like BioShock and Fallout in space.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm here for it. I'm all here for it. Then Bleeding Edge is apparently the game that's been worked on for a couple years by Ninja Theory. I don't know how many freaking people they have working there, but they have apparently like 7 games being made right now. They're the guys who made
Hellblade. Well, they just got a bunch of cash last year. So.
Yeah. Because Hellblade was amazing. Yeah. So Bleeding Edge, it basically is a first-person action combat multiplayer game.
4v4.
It
looks like all melee, right?
Yeah.
Like it's all melee combat? Yeah.
Dude, this is such a bummer. Like, Square Enix probably did not want this to leak tonight.
Come on. Focus. We're not talking
about Final Fantasy VII trailer dropped that they're going to show tomorrow. I'm sorry. That's the last time I'll mention it. But
do yourself a favor and don't watch it.
I'm not going to. Wait till tomorrow. I'll watch it tomorrow. Ori. Stupid Ori.
Before we get to Ori, going back to Bleeding Edge, I will say the thing about Bleeding Edge, it's a bummer for me to see them go kind of an Overwatch route when Hellblade was just such an amazing single player game. Like, I still play through that game and it still hits. Like, it's really good. But I will say the art direction and look of that game was incredible. Yep. Like, when they showed it moving, it was like, holy shit, that looks beautiful. Yeah. You know, like, yep. So I because it'll be Game Pass, I'll give it a flyer. Like,
if it's something I get to. It had a very Borderlands-esque look to it.
Mm-hmm.
That was one comment I saw on Twitter. It was like, E3 2019, where every game wants to be Borderlands. Because there were so many of them that were like that.
So good. Next is Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
How good did that shit look? Tell me right now, Robbie.
February 11th, 2020.
You tell me right now, Robert Steltonpool, how good did that goddamn game look?
That is such a Zach game. I know. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yes, it is.
I will say this. I will play through it and I will listen to the soundtrack over and over again like I did mm-hmm. the last one. But it's not Game of the Year. I'm just by that. But
the size of the it looks like they replaced kind of the like level rushes out of, you know, like when you had the end of the areas where you had to rush out of them. It looks like they've replaced those with like gigantic bosses, which I am super down with.
Yeah, it looked in a lot of ways it looked like a different type of game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yes, it's a side scroller, and yes, it's still the same character and artwork and stuff, but it just looked like a different type of game. I'm here for it. I loved Ori. I agreed begrudgingly to make that game of the year in 2015 for us, but I did so because I believed it was a great game. And so this, I can't believe it's taken us 4 years to get another one.
And, you know, Matt has a great point that, yes, that game is absolutely just Zach bait. Like, it checks every box that I look for in games, 100%. Basically. But damn, that thing just looked so beautiful. Like, watching that trailer today, it was just one of those, like, whoo, boy. Give me that. Like, I'll take all of that.
Yeah.
All day.
That's one of those games I imagine myself really enjoying watching someone play, but not necessarily playing it myself.
Gotcha.
I loved that game. It was so beautiful, just so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so sad. It was just so sad.
Yeah.
So we already talked about Dungeons or the Minecraft Dungeons. We already talked about Star Wars, and then y'all can correct me on this, but this was the most random game announcement of the day for me. Blair Witch.
Yeah, that was the craziest. I was like, "What?" Well, it's funny because they did the initial thing in the shed, and I'm like, "Is this going to be like a Resident Evil?" Or
dude, I thought it was Silent Hill 2 remake.
Silent Hill.
I was in a group watching it with people, and I heard Silent Hill. I heard Outlast 3. I heard
Outlast would have been.
And said Blair Witch because it gave me that vibe, and
it was the scene where he first picks up the camera. And you see something else in the camera, and I'm like, and I went, and I said jokingly to my wife, I'm like, watch this be Blair Witch.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, you know, like, and then it totally was Blair Witch.
When was the last time they even made a Blair Witch movie? Like, what?
Two years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's essentially a sequel to the original, and it's the brother of the girl who gets lost in the first one. I actually, if you're a fan of horror films, just watch it, because I thought it was really entertaining. I'm not saying it's great or anything like that.
I understand why they made a game. Apparently, tens of people are yes. in the sequel. So
yes,
I think my PTSD flared up because that movie freaked me out as a kid. So anytime I see Blair Witch, I just immediately block it out of my mind. So
Did you ever see Book of Shadows? Because, man, if you want a good laugh, watch Book of Shadows.
Book of Shadows is hot trash. I can tell you, Zach, this was not hot trash. This remake.
But the game looked very interesting. Like, it was just one of those, like, being Blair Witch kind of made me just go, I was so confused.
Yeah.
Why they would make a Blair Witch. Like,
yeah. Is and they could have called it anything.
Yeah, like, who's the hell's clamoring for Blair Witch in 2019? You know, like, what the, huh?
Yeah,
I think they could have just they could have called it like Death in the Woods or something like that, something mm-hmm. bland like that. And I still would have wanted to see the game, because I want to play it. Like, I do. I love those type of games. I'm here for them. But it was just so confusing as to why take that property.
Yeah, like, exactly. I think that was it. It was just, why Blair Witch? Like, what? Huh?
Yeah. Right. Here's a perfect example. Hey, sweetheart. They announced today on Xbox, at the Xbox conference, that they're making a Blair Witch game. What is your reaction to that?
Sounds like the stupidest thing I ever heard.
For those that didn't hear, she said, and I quote, "That sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard."
Tell Lisa she's not wrong.
Lisa, like, you're not wrong. All right. So, good gracious, I love that woman. So next, and unfortunately, we're still not done. Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
Awesome.
Zach, I was gonna say, I know you and I are like RTS a co-op. Mm-hmm. I mean, can we play mm-hmm. online?
And it also speaks to, apparently the November update's supposed to have mouse and keyboard.
Ooh.
Brought in to it, and all of a sudden I'm like, so I can hook up a wireless mouse and keyboard and get some Major Empires.
Yeah, I'm down for that,
because I played a ton of Age of Empires back in the day, so like, just having a full HD remake with a whole new storyline attached to it and everything, sure, yeah, done. Like, I'll take that all day. Just it'll if they don't have mouse and keyboard, though, that's when it gets... It's like, okay, well, how was that controller integration?
Yeah, it's
speaking of which, that brings me back to the flight simulator real quick. Like, update actually makes that so much more playable. That's very interesting, now that you make that point.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a great call, too, because there's, you know, if you're flying a 747 and there's 18 switches...
Yeah,
you know, like, how do you do that on a controller? If I remember anything
about those games, it's like almost every button on the keyboard had some sort of purpose.
Yep, everything did something.
Next is, we already talked about the Lego. Okay, so I don't know if y'all are going to remember all of these, but I'll just mention them because we're actually at the end. Spiritfarer. Was shown Legend of Wright, an RPG that looks like a kid drawing a notebook paper and cardboard.
The style of that was rad. Like, yeah. That was one of those, like, okay, if they can execute on this at all, like, just the style alone was like, whoo, hotness. Like, that was cool as hell.
New Wasteland 3, Way to the Woods. Which has been postponed like 3 times already.
Yeah, I liked on the video it said 2020 for real this time underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the deer one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had a little bit of a Journey vibe to it.
And then they posted a game that I don't care what Zach says, he's gonna play it. Mobile Gears Pop game.
Probably not. If it comes free with Game Pass, I'll try it. But
no, it's on mobile. Like, it's,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it cost me any money.
Speaking of Gears, did you think that the Gears multiplayer thing that they had going, I thought that looked really awesome.
Oh, Escape? Yeah. I thought
that's so brilliant. It's brilliant. Now, story stuff, I don't know yet. Like, as someone who wasn't a fan of 4, like, whatever, but I've never bought a Cures game for the story. I don't care about it. Like,
that's fair.
I just want to play Horde mode with Zach and other people. That's all I want to do.
And now Escape, because that was actually my first comment when I watched that, was I looked over at Steph and I'm like, me and Robbie are going to play so much of this. It's going to be crazy.
So
like,
hard.
Yeah.
Freaking hard. So then I have to talk. Okay, State of Decay 2 Heartland was announced.
That looked like a really cool. Just got to blow by it. I thought that was a really cool concept of essentially having two players simultaneously working to the same goal, and it looked like you could flip back and forth between the two camps.
Kind of like a way and, out was.
Yeah, but with two like competing human settlements, right. But like you look like you could either play with someone to work together to meet at the middle, or you could in a single player way bounce between them to kind of manage goals. It just seemed like a really interesting idea with that, with State of Decay's setup,
right?
Yeah,
now you know, and State of Decay is a lot of spreadsheet watching looking pretty, you know, so
and so then the last thing that Xbox showed, and I can't not mention this and get excited. They showed us gameplay for Dying Light 2, and if anybody knows me long enough, you know that I am a huge advocate for that first game. I think it is the best first-person zombie-type game we've had. The day and night cycle was freaking dope. The parkour stuff was so good. Mm.
Don't get caught out at night, though.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, you will get wrecked.
Wrecked. Like fast.
I think the term wrecked actually came from that first game. It's not playing online or anything like that. It is playing that game. Also, it will scare the freaking crap out of you.
Oh yeah, I never played the first one, so actually that trailer made me go download the first one because it's on Game Pass, and I'm planning on playing it.
It's really good. It's one of those games that you will get a couple hours into it and go, how come no one talked about this game?
Right.
Now it does have a slow start. I have to say that. Like
you need to get. It really has a long tutorial is the problem. Okay. So you cross that like two and a half hour barrier and the game starts to open up.
Okay.
And that's when all of a sudden you're just going to be like, everything I'm doing is amazing. Why isn't this like going down in the pantheon of great games for this generation? Yeah. And it's a mystery to me. I don't understand it.
Quick behind the curtain, and Zach will remember this. Mm. We got an opportunity when we went to E3 2 years ago. We set up interviews and we got to meet a bunch of people. And then when we had an interview set for meeting with the developers of this game. And for some reason, I can't remember their names right now. But I told the guys there was no one else who was going to that. Like I was going to be the one to go interview those guys. Mm-hmm. And then I had to sit through 20 minutes of Farming Simulator 2018 for me to get to the DLC of Dying Light. And it was worth every second of it because I got to nerd out with those guys before I got to leave. But anyway, to quickly move on to the last conference that we have seen of the day, of the weekend so far, is Bethesda, and just to give a quick shout out to what Bethesda needed to do. Bethesda just needed to fill time for an hour and a half, really.
Yep.
And so let's go through what they filled their time with, and we're going to start off with Ghostwire Tokyo, which I stand by is just a game that looks like Bethesda and Kojima made a baby together. And this is that baby.
Well, if you mean by a bunch of really cool imagery and none of it making many sense, then yeah, totally, I'm with you.
100, like, and that's what I mean. Like it just didn't make any sense. That like Matt has said at the beginning, like it basically the rapture's occurred.
Yeah,
yeah,
like rapture of the video game.
Yeah. And so it looks really cool, but again, we didn't see, I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think I've come to sour a little bit on games who show us just CGI trailers and not actual gameplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what they did here, but hey, listen, they had to fill time, and this game probably is still going to come out before we see, Starbound.
I was really happy about it because that means I get a point because I called the new game from Tango. So that was... That's what that was. Ooh. So I get a point for that.
Whatever.
Just saying. Just saying.
Whatever.
I just like new original IP. I mean, that was kind of my thing. It's like, that's, it looks like something I haven't seen before, and I like that.
Yes. And then another game that none of us have heard of before, Deathloop. Mm-hmm. Deathloop is coming out, and like, here's a description. The folks behind Dishonored have a new game with a mind-bending story and meticulously designed levels. Like Dishonored, it'll all be about playing the way you want to play it. Seems like a story revolves around time loops. Not much more information. Okay. It looks dope. It looks cool. We don't have a lot of information other than it looks like either brother, sister, two friends, ex-lovers, something. A guy and a girl are constantly trying to kill each other in this never-ending time loop.
Yeah, all they said was they're two, like, insanely high-end assassins.
Yeah.
And that's all you know. And, yeah.
And
so
then the creme de la creme, Doom Eternal. What is up?
Yeah, dude.
Coming out November 22nd.
Late, actually, which I thought was a little surprising. Like, that's a really big game, and that is late in the holiday window for that a game of that size. But everything they showed about Doom seemed to build on the last game. Everything was, you know, to use the old Doom 2 thing, bigger, badder, and more badass. I mean, the weapons were bigger, the cyber demons were crazier. It seemed to have a expanded gameplay as far as you know, a lot more jumping and navigating of levels, that sort of thing, climbing and things, which I don't really remember being in the first Doom at all.
Was cool, where you just kind of grab stuff and flip out and stuff like that. That was definitely a nice little unique touch.
Yeah. So I mean, that's one of those things where I'm just buying it. Like, I loved Doom. I love Doom 2016 incredibly. And so to expand on all of that, if it the thing though I'm interested to see as it goes along is, does it keep the puzzle aspect that Doom 2016 had, which is really the thing that pulled me through that game? It was the, okay, I'm walking into a room, I see the layout, I see the guys, I've got X amount of ammo, X amount of this, and how do I get to the other side? You know, and like, okay, go. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, melee this dude and get ammo from him. And then I can pop this guy, and then I can glory kill this dude. This is going to give me gas for this chainsaw that I can use over here. Like, it was just the puzzle aspect of Doom is what made it a real special game. And I'm hoping that they just can keep that train rolling.
Yeah. I think, I don't know how well I articulated before, but I'll try to do a better job now. But Doom 2016 made the way that I play shooters completely flip on its head, because I could not take cover. If I took cover, I was going to die, because it wasn't about taking cover. Like, you have to be aggressive. Even if you're super low on health, you have to be aggressive in order to get more health back. Because
you can't stop moving.
No, you just can't. You cannot stop moving. And I won't lie. Like, I mean, I'm sure people who had never played a Doom game before, this guy, like, it took some time to get used to in the first couple hours. But I have played through that game three times now, and I've bought it on PS4 and on PC because I fell in love with that game so freaking much. November 22nd, and just at the end, we're going to talk about why November 22nd is such a big deal.
Hang on. What about the multiplayer? Did anyone care about that? I know you didn't, but Zach, did you think that was kind of a cool?
I thought it was a cool idea, but it seemed like, for how much they were hyping it up, I was kind of like,
well, yeah.
It seems like an old Quake mod.
Yeah.
You know, like, or one of those type of things. But I mean, the idea of two players control cyber demons, one player controls a fully loaded out Slayer, and go, who wins? I found it, you know, it'll be interesting to see, is it just the two cyber demons that they showed, or, you know, can you pick from like a roster of cyber demons? Okay. You know, like, to that line, it seemed like there was abilities to summon more demons into the fray. I'm curious to see the level layouts, like if they're lend themselves to traps or things of that nature, because you know, as a standard game goes, the Slayer is way more overpowered.
Right.
So it's going to take a lot of, you know, brains to figure out how to take down a person that is decent playing Slayer. So
it also looked like it had like abilities that were like they had a time burn on them, and so you could you could pop them, and then you'd have to wait for it to recharge, and so that was added like an interesting strategy to it. It looked like.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it. I will say that, but it's going to be one of those things where I'm just wondering if it's going to get overshadowed because the single player game is going to be so good, you know, or I mean that's my hope anyway. Bro, but they
cut a demon heart out and then stabbed it in the mouth with the heart. He made him eat his own heart. That was awesome.
yes, they did. They did that.
Oh, man. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. Yep. Then Todd Howard, and this isn't necessarily in order of the conference.
Yeah, because this is how they open the show.
Yeah, this is literally the inverse. Fallout 76 is going to get new free update, and that will add NPCs, because that's what's going to save that game. Todd Howard came out and admitted that there were some issues. They had some problems. You know, like, you can say whatever you want about Todd Howard, but the one thing is he's very blunt, very honest. A lot of times, I wish he'd be a little bit more honest about their game engine. But they also announced that you can try Fallout 76 for free from the 10th to the 17th. It's getting a battle royale mode because of course it is. Before we move on to the last two bits, does anybody have anything to add about Fallout 76?
I have notes actually as I was watching it, and the first note I said was, I'm not sure why this is still a thing, Fallout 76. And then the next one was, okay, Fallout 76 has a free trial. Why is this not on Game Pass? Right? Because it seems like a perfect Game Pass game to push. And then the next thing I put, to their credit, they're shoveling out free content. So, I mean, it seems like, okay, they at least recognize, like, okay, we're not going to get people to play this, and we've done a lot of really hard work to get this game where it needs to be, even though it wasn't when it came out. And so they're doing the work to make this game better, and so I can appreciate that. And honestly, you know, not only that, but it's not to my detriment. You know, yeah, I've got to go pick up a copy of the game at my cost, but outside of that, I'm not having to eat a whole bunch of money in DLC and stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, I think that they're doing this the right way, even though they released a game knowingly kind of, I mean, they've admitted they knew it was kind of gritty.
Well, the one thing I took away from that whole segment was essentially they feel like they've got Fallout 76 to the place where it probably should have been when they launched
it.
You know, what they're releasing now was the original package, I think a lot of people would have been a lot more receptive to the game.
Sure.
But we've been saying that about a lot of games over the last couple of years about that.
It's the destinyification of the game universe.
Yep. You know? And, oh man, why am I blanking? The game that came out on PS4 that was about space and exploration and...
Oh, No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky. Yeah, what the game is now is exactly what everybody wanted from the beginning. But anyway.
No Man's Sky is rad. If you can pick it up on the cheap, it's totally worth
it.
Yeah,
I have a copy. Yeah. I just haven't installed it.
Yeah. Elder Scrolls Blades is coming to Switch because that's what Switch is.
I thought, that was an incredibly smart move to take a mobile game and then slap it over there and then make it seamless between the two so you can... You can pick up your place where you're at on the mobile game, and then just go straight to Switch if you want to, and it's no big deal. And you can play both platforms.
I thought. Did you catch that they called it Switchblades, which I thought was pretty good. Like, yeah. Robbie's just shaking his head for people that can't see this. Fine. Like, he's just.
The last bit, Todd Howard did say that they are still hard at work on Elder Scrolls 6 and Starfield, because of course they are.
I think that was the only mention of the Starfield game, right? Like, I mean, there was no pictures, there was nothing. Like, that was it.
Yeah, they know they made a mistake last year about revealing it, because it's nowhere near ready. But they just have to fill time. I just feel like Bethesda needs to take a year off from doing a conference at some point. They're going to have to. Then the rest, Wolfenstein is that cyber game is coming to VR.
Well, the cyber game, yeah, which, sure, I don't have VR and won't in the future.
But then Wolfenstein Youngblood is a co-op shooter in which you play as the twin daughters of BJ Blazkowicz.
And that shit looks dope!
It does. I like how they've progressed into like a time that feels kind of 80s-ish. And now now the timeline's pushed into that, and I think that'll be a really interesting like feel to the game.
You're going to save BJ.
Right.
You gotta go save BJ.
Yeah, in Nazi-controlled Paris in 1980, apparently. Which, yeah, sweet, I'm down. Let's do all of this.
And then id Software announced Commander Keen, which is, it looks basically like a Saturday morning cartoon, but it is a free-to-play mobile game. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. That was my reaction to that as well. Yep. Sure.
Yep. Rage 2 is getting an expansion. Rise of the Ghosts. Cool. But the last thing to talk about is, which we didn't get a lot of information, but we got enough to pique our interest. Apparently Bethesda is getting into the streaming business as well.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
And it's called Orion, and you can go to doomslayerclub.com, and you can set up to be part of their beta, which
is playing Doom 2016
on your phone.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, the way they were talking about it, the big thing is that you can play your game at high levels, high frame rate, and high fidelity with low latency with your internet, which don't know how that's possible. So
yeah,
we will continue. Like, we will watch and see how that works.
It'll be interesting to see, like, if they need to, you know, sideload a bunch of stuff before it'll play, or like how they get around that. It'll be, I'm curious to see how it works.
So that was Bethesda.
Oh, you know what we totally missed at Microsoft? What? Real quick, if we could go back for a second. Yeah. Crossfire X. Like, that's another one that's a real big deal. Like, again, it's a title that doesn't resonate with the U.S. market at all. But, you know, Crossfire is the game that they made Call of Duty Online to compete with. Because in the Asian market, Crossfire was just eating Call of Duty's lunch.
Hmm.
And so bringing that title to American shores, like, is another huge, enormous title that no one over here has ever played.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was.
Yeah,
it's kind of coming. I'm seeing some stuff online that Remedy is doing the single player campaign for it, which could be crazy. But apparently Crossfire is like, there's two factions and a private military organization and a terrorist organization, and they kind of just fight, you know. So it's like Cobra and G.I. Joe basically, but and apparently it's a very much a Call of Duty style game, but it's another one of those like kind of PSO2 type things where millions of people play this game all the time, but no one over here does, so it'll be curious to see how that translates.
It's very like I'm curious. I'm curious.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was. I thought it was new IP. Actually, honestly, I was like, cool, a new game.
It's been like, China's biggest online shooter since like 2015 or something like that.
Okay.
It gets a lot of comparisons to Counter-Strike.
Because I actually was thinking it was Counter-Strike the whole time during the trailer. But then they called it a different name, so I was like, okay, I don't know what this is then.
Yeah.
So just really quickly, this is what we had before the past 2 days. This is what we had. This is what we knew was coming out from September to November. Catherine, Borderlands 3, New Phoenix Wright, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, World of Warcraft Collector's Edition, Anniversary Collector's Edition, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Death Stranding, Shenmue 3, and Star Wars Fallen Order. Now, good God, Like, I can't even list the games that are coming now.
And that's just day one, right?
Yeah.
And, like, just the fact that Gears is coming this year.
Yep.
You know, I don't know why I can't. Outer Worlds is coming this year. Like,
I thought that was surprising. I did. That seemed like a game that was going to be further away. And when they said it was this year, I was like, oh, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
It was just, like I said, it was just super weird that we are now just, we got a litany of games coming out this fall that I was not expecting. Like, I thought it was going to be just a quiet year as a whole, but they have basically said, nah, just kidding. We're not going to be quiet here. And then
The one that was kind of a mind melter for me was when it was Cyberpunk, and it was like, what was it, March whatever 2020 is the release date, and it hit me that that's like less than a year away, and I'm like, wait, 2020 is less than, oh god damn it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, right, it's 2019. Jesus.
And if you if you think about it now, we're getting Final Fantasy Remake and Cyberpunk in the same month now.
Yeah, I know which one I'll be playing, and
mine's just both. And also, some people are getting incredibly happy because they are.
Yeah, you're gonna have a 2-year-old at that point. Good luck with that.
They are no longer mentioning episodic.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we'll probably get clarity on that tomorrow.
But. Yes. So overall, good day so far, Zach and Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I thought everything went well in terms of Xbox. I understand some of the disappointment. There were some things that I was a little disappointed with. But overall, I enjoyed Xbox. I enjoyed Bethesda, even though I'm not really a Bethesda game guy. I mean, the games that they were kind of pushing out my way, Wolfenstein hits me right where I want it to. Doom hits me where I want it to. You know, Fallout's not really my thing, but at least I can recognize, you know, that it has its value, and I understand it has its player base. So, you know, I mean, usually Bethesda doesn't, you know, scratch my itch, but there are games that they make, and the ones that they were pushing out are the ones that I had interest in anyway. So overall, I enjoyed it. Plus, Ghostwire looks super cool. I don't know what it is, but it looks cool.
Yeah, for me, it was a real solid day. I think Microsoft did like 80% of what they needed to. You know, I would have really liked to have seen one more real banger of a title that wasn't Gears 5, you know, that was coming this year. But I think they had a rock solid list of games. I think it was highly curious that we never saw Fable 4 or even a mention of it. Because that was something that from multiple people was being reported as a game. Yeah, that was coming. So,
I'm surprised we didn't hear anything about Microsoft and Nintendo.
Nintendo, that was the other thing that I found very curious that was not there. I mean, there's still a chance that that could be being saved for Nintendo's press conference.
Sure. Yeah.
If it's just a Game Pass coming to Nintendo thing. But outside of those couple of missions, you know, Gears looks amazing. Ori looks amazing. One of the games we didn't talk about, 12 Minutes, I thought looked fascinating.
Dude, like, that was yes.
A little indie that they trotted out there that looked like my kind of game.
But
absolutely.
But it's going to be just like Below, and it's not going to come out for freaking 5 years.
Was that the the top-down divorce the video game was what it looked like?
Well, it looked like it was like you get 12, like you keep your character keeps his memory, but you get 12 minutes to figure your way out of the situation.
Yeah, as the trailer unfolded, I was like, okay, this looks cooler. Because at first I was like, this just looks like divorce unfolding. I don't understand.
Yeah. You're like, wow, your game is a really uncomfortable conversation. Right, that's sweet.
Right. It was giving me flashbacks to my parents. but no, overall, I think it was a very good day. I think ultimately, I just expected, because Xbox was on the platform by themselves, they could have blown me away, and they just didn't. And I think that's partly because I just expected them to show us more of next gen stuff. Because 2 years ago, before Xbox One X came out, like, they were all about, like, this is only on Xbox One X. You know, this is what it looks like on Xbox One X. And the fact that Sony a month ago really, you know, showed us that presentation video of what Spider-Man looks like with no load times and stuff like that. Like, I just expected that. And I think I just want Microsoft to give me single player games for only their console and not on all consoles. But that is just, but like I said earlier today on Facebook, it is apparent they are just gearing up for, they're gearing up for next gen now.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I think I would not be surprised if we don't see next year for E3. I'm not saying games won't release for Xbox One, but I would not be surprised if next year's E3 is nothing but just Scarlet games.
Right.
Or
and it should be.
Yes, 100%.
Good, absolutely. Well, and you know, by what you're not seeing here, it tells me Fable 4 is a Scarlet game. The next Forza is a Scarlet game. You know, Halo obviously is a Scarlet game. It's the things they didn't show today are what tell me what's coming next. You know.
And if you could get on the move and get them moving for the Golden Axe God of War thing that you talked about, that I was freaking out at work. Like, I was like, that's such a good idea. Why has no one said anything about that?
Totally. Like, give me that game. Yeah.
So, tomorrow is Ubi and Square.
Oh, I'm so excited. I think I'm more excited about tomorrow than I am. And that's coming from an Xbox person.
Well, is there a third one tomorrow? I can look now. Hold on. I have it on my phone. Ubisoft and Square. That's it. Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure the PC show is tomorrow too, but who cares?
Well, and there's a game specific one too. Limited Run.
I think the reason why we all know we're excited tomorrow is because we're finally going to see the Avengers game. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. If they tell me that's a next gen game, I'm going to be so upset. I'm going to be so upset if they tell me that's a next gen game. I can't wait any longer. So Zach and Matt, thank you so much for coming together with me tonight to recap these. We'll try to do this again tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Compare
notes.
Yeah, maybe Shannon will be able to be here tomorrow night. But I'm going to do Facebook Live videos as just instant reactions of as we go through stuff. That's all I got. Zach, you got anything else, man?
No, man. It's a good start. It's a good start to the show. There are a lot of good surprises. So I feel cautiously optimistic the rest of the way out. I will say not having Sony at E3 sucks.
100%.
It's becoming a major bummer, and I didn't think I'd miss it as much, but that's why you thought there was another one tomorrow, because that's the big hole that's there that usually would be there tomorrow. So not having just another big developer out there swinging things around is always fun, you know, and just so not having Sony's a bummer, but
yeah.
Outside of that, I'm still very into this show.
Matt, you got anything else, man?
No. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm more excited, I think, for tomorrow than I am today. And that's just because I think I'm so on the Ubi jock. It's not even funny. And then that Avengers possibility. But other than that, no. This is a really impromptu thing. I appreciate you guys letting me come on here and talk. That was really cool.
Absolutely,
no problem, man. I mean, as far as tomorrow goes, all they have to do is show me Avengers and show me a new Sam Fisher game, and I'll be good to go.
Do you think you'll just hear the? It'll be a black screen. You'll just hear the.
Oh my gosh!
Well, so and the new Ghost Recon. I'm super pumped to hear. If I'm hoping they'll give us a little more of that, because I eat up anything John Bernthal puts out. So.
Yeah. There we go. Well, listeners, thank you so much for always supporting us and listening to us babble about video games. We will see you guys tomorrow night.